Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. It's hour two. Greg Cosell in a couple of minutes. NFL Meat Sandwich live in Los Angeles on a Thursday. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio and FS1. We've had flies or something in here, the studio, for the last week. We can't get rid of them. We don't know what it is. Very aggravating. And Joy and I, so if you see Joy and I swatting and doing stuff like this, it's because there's like these fruit flies everywhere.
Yeah, they're so stupid, too. They're slow. Like, if you could, there's one right here.
And boom.
Real slow.
Yeah.
Got it!
Well, there's smart dogs so and dumb dogs. And, like, there's smart flies and dumb flies. And so
these
they're dumb.
These flies are dumb.
Yeah, these are like, it'd be like a pilot gets in a plane with no gas. These things run out of gas. They sit in your desk. But they're all over you, gnats and stuff. And it just,
they keep flying in my mouth. I'm sure they're in my coffee.
Yeah.
Gross.
It's good to have you in today. Radio, TV, and all that stuff. That's Joy Taylor. By the way, presidential debate tonight, I'm not watching it. I've made my mind up, and I don't know a single person that hasn't made their mind up. So I think this is just a chance for you to go watch television, go to Twitter, and validate your beliefs. Everybody's made their mind up. Whatever side you're on, that's up to you.
But there's Thursday Night Football on tonight, guys.
Yeah, that's what I'm watching. And by the way, I want to talk about that for a second. Again, around here, around these parts, I am known as Mr. Optimism. I mean, that's what people call me. They don't even call me Colin. Hey, there's Mr. Optimism. I picked the Eagles to win this division. Nick Wright picked the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl. That is not working out. I said Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl. I kind of thought Baltimore. I still got a shot. Those are two of the four or five best teams. Here's Philadelphia. Everybody's freaking out in Philadelphia. Settle down. Settle down. Number one, in the NFC East, the division they're in, they absolutely have the best general manager and the best quarterback, and they probably have the best owner and the best head coach, probably. That's 4-for-4 in the four things that matter. The other thing is the other three teams in that division have new staffs. Translation, less continuity. Look at the standings. You look at the schedule. The schedule is perfect for Philadelphia. Just take care of business. If you asked an Eagle fan this morning, what do you need? You'd say the Giants twice, a bye, and the Cowboys. Oh, what do you know? That's what you get. You get a Giants team tonight at home, your favored. They can't score. It's just what you need. Then you get a Cowboy team the following week that's in utter disarray, that can't defend anything. Then you get a bye. Then you get the Giants again. And by that time, you're healthy, and you got some real teams. You got to go to Cleveland. You take Seattle, Green Bay, the Saints. Okay, it gets tougher. But the reality at that point, you should be a healthy football team. And if you win, you deserve to. And if you lose, you deserve to. But this is, you know, I'm a glass mostly full guy. Philadelphia's fine. They just got a win tonight. They got a win. They got the Giants twice, the ailing Cowboys, and a bye. That's exactly what, if you had to script it out, you wouldn't want to face Washington because they have a good defensive front. You'd want to face a couple of teams with no offensive firepower, a team with bad defense, and a bye. That's what you get. Philadelphia, I think, wins by a touchdown tonight. Let's bring in Greg Cosell, 41 years NFL films, NFL Meat Sandwich. You bet football. You're a fantasy football player who's the best in the business. Let's talk about Philadelphia. I think it's kind of fascinating. I still think this is a talented team. I think they get a little bit of a scheduling break. I think Carson Wentz making Travis Fulgham a number one is fascinating. And when you look at them on film, if they get healthier, when you look at film, do you think they've got some pieces here? Health, attrition is the issue.
Well, we'll see what happens at wide receiver. That's a big concern right now. So is the offensive line. That is the bigger concern because Carson Wentz has been hit, Colin, way too many times the last 2 weeks. And Wentz is an interesting player, and I like Carson Wentz, as I know you do. But Carson Wentz, even at his best, he's a certain kind of quarterback. He's not a true precision player. He's a playmaker type quarterback who can make big plays. He will always miss a few. That's the way he plays. I'm not going to compare him to Brett Favre, who's a Hall of Famer, but stylistically, that's what Carson Wentz really is.
Yeah.
He's a big play type quarterback. So the offensive line is an issue. But when you look at what they've done the last 2 weeks against arguably the two best defenses in the league, they've put up 29 and 28 points. The defense, and maybe that's not a factor tonight against a Giants offense that's clearly not very good, but the defense has been a little bit of an issue. It's very hard, no matter how well Wentz plays, for this team to consistently put up 30, 35 points on a weekly basis.
So Green Bay, you know, it's a weird stat, but they've been blown out. Aaron's been blown out 10% of his career, blown out. And this is one of those games. He throws a second pick. His body language isn't great. He doesn't throw downfield as much. It was very windy in the stadium. But something, Tampa did something to slow down this freight train of Green Bay's offense. And what did the film tell you Tampa Bay's defense did?
You know, I can't speak to those other 10 games. I can just tell you what Tampa did. And not every team is equipped to do this, nor would every team attempt to do this. But what the Bucs did was they were very multiple with their front looks. They were very multiple with their pressure schemes. When you're very multiple with your front looks, Colin, what you're trying to do is you're trying to make it difficult for the five offensive linemen to sort out who they're going to block before the snap of the ball. Because protection rules don't change in the middle of the play. The protection rules are set pre-snap. So they did a really good job kind of messing with protection rules, and it became very, very difficult to sort out. Plus, they were willing to be extremely aggressive in terms of blitz and coverage. On third down, they had three snaps of what we call cover zero with no safety in the middle of the field and all-out pressure. So Todd Bowles pretty much put the pedal to the metal and said, we are going to be very, very aggressive. We're going to attack. As I said, not every team is equipped to do this, but I'm not a blueprint guy. Aaron Rodgers has been in the league a long time. So I'm not going to sit here and say, well, now every team's going to do that and they're not going to be any good. That's not going to happen every week. But the Bucs did a really, really good job.
So this week we saw Kansas City meet Buffalo, two of the strongest armed quarterbacks. And my two takeaways are, let's start with this. Let's start with Josh Allen. Last couple of weeks, he's faced Tennessee and Kansas City, a little unraveled. Anything you see with Josh Allen, they're very dependent on him now because the defense in Buffalo is not the same. Anything that concerns you about Buffalo and Josh Allen, he's regressed a tad.
Well, there were two different defensive concepts. I thought he did not play poorly against Tennessee, but what Tennessee did was a lot of disguise and late movement to get to zone coverage concepts. What Kansas City did was they did some disguise as well, but they played more man coverage, more match zone, where they matched up to receivers, and they were more aggressive with pressure. The game on a Tuesday night, it was Monday night, I guess. That game, Josh was not very good at all. He missed way too many throws. He was inaccurate. They started the game with an easy throw, and he missed it to Beasley. Just a throw to get him comfortable and in rhythm in the game, and he just threw it into the ground. And then the second throw, he airmailed over John Brown on a shallow crosser. So he really struggled throwing the ball against the Chiefs. And we'll see where he goes. We know that there's a narrative in many people's minds about Josh Allen. Let's see where he goes, because he was very, very good the first 4 weeks.
Kansas City, meanwhile, they get Le'Veon Bell, who could be Clyde Edwards-Helaire's very good, but he's not as great goal-to-goal situations. He's not a big thumper like Le'Veon Bell is. But do you see Andy Reid tweaking this offense a little going forward and making it less reliant on Patrick Mahomes? 29 throws, not 39. Do you see any of that?
Well, people may not be aware of this, but through the first six games of the season, Edwards-Helaire has averaged 18 carries a game. He's second in the league in rushing. So this is not a case where Edwards-Helaire gets the leftover crumbs. I mean, Andy Reid's always been a pass-first coach, and when you have Patrick Mahomes, you're certainly going to do that along with that speed. But this is not a case where Edwards-Helaire has not been a factor. 18 carries a game is a lot. I think that Le'Veon Bell is mostly going to be a factor in the pass game, because that's what he's still very good at. The last number of years, going back to his final year in Pittsburgh before he sat out, he's not been the same back he was those two or three years where he was outstanding.
So, you know, it is interesting. I have said this. I said if Cam plays well against Denver and Cam plays well this week against San Francisco, New England's probably going to be too good to get a high draft pick because nobody's going to give it to him, that's for sure. And maybe they give Cam, he goes from rental to a two-year contract. And then I watch this week and his mechanics are off and he's out of sorts. Now, it could be practices. But, I mean, I saw him against Seattle and I'm like, I'm all in and I've seen regression. Is it a COVID thing? Is it a practice thing? What do you see with New England's offense?
All I can speak to, Colin, is what the tape shows. You know, practice, obviously, practice helps everybody because people don't normally get better by working less. So practice helps everybody. But I can only tell you what the tape shows. And this offense this past week against Denver looked sluggish. They looked slow. Cam was inaccurate. He was wild on some throws. He left some throws on the field by not turning it loose on throws that were clearly there. So he did not play well. And the offense looked sluggish. They had no juice whatsoever. There's no explosive element to this offense right now.
Yeah. So this is interesting. So I got into this debate with my staff because everybody in the staff is like, you know what? That's a perfect game for Jimmy Garoppolo. And they did exactly what they wanted to. And I said, okay, maybe you can beat the Rams at home that way. But when I watch the Niners, this is what my eyes tell me. Kyle Shanahan is it's a remote control. We call it remote control Garoppolo. He's controlling him. And my thing is, you got to let Lamar loose. You got to let Garoppolo loose. You got to let Goff sometimes let it rip. And I feel San Francisco's offense and I like their perimeter weapons. I like Brandon Ayuk. I like Deebo Samuel. I love Kittle. There's some players here. I think Kyle's lost some level of confidence. What does the film show?
Well, first of all, I think you have to say that this was his first game back where he was pretty much healthy. They played against a defense that's pretty well defined. They play a lot of zone looks. Zone looks are much better for Kyle Shanahan to orchestrate and manufacture plays. They did a really good job with it. It was a game to get Jimmy G's confidence back, get him comfortable in the context of this offense. And we'll wait and see. I would expect that New England, who they play this week, would probably play more man. But contrary to what a lot of people might think, New England has had a number of games this year where they've played a lot more zone coverage than man coverage. Now, that always depends on the opponent. But I think, as a general point, Colin, I think the idea of a coach orchestrating an offense for a quarterback is what a coach should do.
Okay.
You know, I think you have to understand your quarterback's strengths, his limitations, and you orchestrate your offense based on that. I mean, this team got to the Super Bowl last year running a very efficient offense. There's nothing wrong with a coach doing that. That's what a coach's job is.
Yeah. Just a quick question. What do you make of the Rams? They keep beating the NFC East and nobody else. What do you make of the Rams? Because I'm a little confused with them. What's the film say on the Rams?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out their defense. You know, it's interesting what they're doing with Jalen Ramsey. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, theoretically, is a big-time shutdown corner, not being used that way. You just signed him to a big deal. So, you know, again, I don't question coaches because they're there every day. I'm not. But they play more zone than man. Ramsey's not an outside corner on every snap. He plays inside a lot. He plays in the slot when they go to their sub nickel or their sub dime. Now they put him in this new star position at times, which is really a big nickel. It's a form of base defense. So I'm just trying to get a sense, as maybe Brandon Staley is their coordinator, get a sense of his personnel and how they want to play.
So the team that I really missed on is the Steelers. I said they're going to be 8-8. Big Ben doesn't have a legendary reputation of working hard in the offseason. He's not a Breeze or like a Lamar where you see these, you know, these jumps.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know. I know their front seven's good, and I watch them just – they are terrorizing quarterbacks, that's obviously a huge part of it. Cleveland had a rookie left tackle. That's a tough matchup. By the way, Tennessee could be missing their left tackle. That's not good. But I'm watching Big Ben, and maybe it's Claypool, but he's not making the mistakes. He appears to be pretty dialed in. This team, I don't see a lot of weakness right now. I was wrong. What does the film tell you?
Well, what they do offensively in the pass game, and by the way, their pass game has become very rhythm-based, but what they do maybe better than any team in the league is attack one-on-ones outside the numbers. They've done this for years because they've had very good receivers. So what they do now with Claypool, James Washington, is they attack those one-on-ones. And I think some, and you get those one-on-ones even if a team is playing zone, because when you're outside the numbers, you get one-on-ones. So I think you'll see Claypool, you'll see Washington. They'll attack Malcolm Butler. They'll attack Jonathan Joseph. This is what they do to create their big plays. But they've also become very rhythmic in the passing game as well, and they've gotten enough out of James Conner to have a run game. So it's actually a pretty balanced offense, but they create big plays throwing it down the field.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was just watching these highlights. They remind me of the Steelers when I was a kid. Great front seven, big play receivers, star quarterback. Can't really remember the guys in the secondary much, but they are playing that kind of Steeler football again, where it's big plays, big presence at quarterback. And I mean, they are just, you just, I feel bad. I think Taylor Lewan could be out for Tennessee this weekend, left tackling.
He is. Oh, no, he tore his ACL.
Okay.
So the big question in that game becomes, how does Tennessee handle that when they have to throw the ball? Because you're always going to have to throw the ball.
Okay.
Every team wants to get five out. But I think with Ty Sambrao playing left tackle, he's a pretty good run blocker. So far, he's struggled in pass protection when he's had to play. And that's something that is a big, big factor in this game.
So let's segue to the Titans. That'll be the play of the day. How are they making it work? They are just, it feels like they're getting better. Last year, they kind of pulled the ball out of Tannehill's hands. They've put it back in this year. What does the tape say?
Well, they're a very defined offense. It starts with the run game. It starts with base personnel. Everything works off that. They have a very good play action pass game, multiple kinds of play action, quick game play action, downfield play action. So what they do is they get the defense, when they can stay on schedule, in predictable fronts, predictable coverages, and they attack that. And the key, one of the key things is they've been really, really good in the red zone. And that's been so critical, because that's why they score a lot of points. It's because when they get the ball down inside the 20 and the 10, they score touchdowns. And Tannehill's, I think, more talented than people think. He's a very good thrower. And since he came in last year, week 6 or 7, whenever it was, he has been really consistently accurate, Colin.
So let's look at the play. We have our big play with Tannehill.
Yeah. This is a red zone play from last week. And let's run the play so people can see the touchdown to A.J. Brown. And this was a first down play. And that's really important to remember as we break it down. Because first down, you don't make mistakes. So here's Tannehill in the gun. They're going to have three tight ends on the field. Two of them are in normal tight end alignments. Where is the third tight end, Jonnu Smith? He's offset in the backfield, because what they want to do here is they want to run the angle route to Jonnu Smith. That's the design of this play. But remember, I said it's first down. So what happens here as the play runs, and you can see Jonnu Smith running the angle route, is Tannehill sees the safety sitting there, Justin Reed. Justin Reed will be in position, as you can see Reed right here, to potentially take this throw away. And you don't want to throw this on first down. So Tannehill leaves the pocket, which he's very good at. And now what does he see? He sees A.J. Brown crossing the formation from the other side, second reaction movement, recognizing a receiver coming from the backside, and you get a touchdown. So a great example, Colin, of a first down play, a designed play that Tannehill did not believe was there, because you don't want to make a mistake on first down in the tight red zone, and then he's able to create. That happened a couple of times in this game, and Tannehill's very, very good at that.
Yeah, he can also buy time, as you said. He was a wide receiver to begin at Texas A&M. So, again, the Titans' left tackle is out. That is problematic against the Steelers.
That's big.
Yeah, big problem. So, good stuff, Greg Cosell, NFL Films, over 4 decades. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
John Smoltz, by the way, will be coming up next hour. Antonio Cromartie next hour as well. Brett Favre talked, said something which I totally disagree with. That's coming up.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tonight, it's a classic NFC East rivalry that's been all Philly as of late. Daniel Jones and the Giants try to get their season going as they take on Carson Wentz and the Eagles. It all starts at 7:30 Eastern on Fox, NFL Network, and streaming on Amazon Prime.
What's interesting about that division is the Giants are in a total rebuild. There's no preseason. They have a new coach and a new staff. And you'd think to yourself, oh, this is a bad season. But the Giants have gotten better slightly better every week. The division's still up for grabs. They're not getting Saquon Barkley back, but the Giants have a real defense. Outside of the New York Jets, and they're terrible, and the Atlanta Falcons, who have fired their coach and GM, everybody else in this league is still viable. Atlanta now, like, they're starting over, and the Jets are a grease fire. But the New York Giants could win their division. Their defense is good. It looks like they got a coach. They're a little bit like Miami last year. They got blown out early, and then you start watching them, and you're like, oh, the Giants aren't terrible. They're only a five-point Fox bet dog tonight, five and a half. So I think they're in pretty good shape, actually. For a new coach, no TAs, no training camp, no preseason. September was their preseason, so the Giants are just getting better. Giants pull off an upset tonight, you'd have to feel great as a Giants fan. You are better than you thought you'd be after watching weeks one and weeks two. They went to Los Angeles and had the Rams in trouble until a minute and a half left. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Le'Veon Bell is joining an already stacked Kansas City offense, and he is excited to show the league that he can still be a difference maker after a disappointing run in New York.
I think this offense is really fit for my skill set. I think Coach Reed does a good job of, you know, getting backs the ball in space, and being an opportunity to play with Coach Reed is just going to be, you know, magnificent for me. So play with these players around, Patty Mahomes. I never played with a player, you know, MVP wise, you know, so it's going to be fun. You know, I think it's a lot of weapons. It's going to be fun for me.
You know what is great about pro sports? I always feel it's unfair. You work really hard in college. You outwork everybody, and your reward is to go to the Bengals. Right. But in the NFL, here's the good news. You can be Calais Campbell. You're with the Jags, and you get traded to the Ravens. Or you're Le'Veon Bell with the Jets, and you go to the Chiefs. Can you imagine you work for a terrible company? The management's bad. The ownership is bad. And they call you up and say, Apple in Palo Alto. Yeah, they want to hire you. What? One of the best companies in America? Yeah, they think... Yeah, but I work at Larry's Barn Grill, and it's the management's bad, and the staff is bad. No, Apple wants to hire you. You're going to go from the Jets to the Kansas City Chiefs. Better owner, better GM, better coach, better quarterback, better. I mean, what a gift sports can give Le'Veon Bell. He made a little detour, a wrong one to the Jets from the Steelers, but life gives you other opportunities, and he didn't have to go to the Chiefs. He had three or four teams. He can now end his career, next three or four years, have the time of his life with the smartest offensive coach and the best quarterback.
Well, it's also why it's, and look, I don't want to be too premature. We haven't seen him with the Chiefs yet,
right,
to see what he can do. But I think we're all assuming that this is going to work. Andy Reid is a genius, and he's going to put him in the best position. But it's also why you have to be careful saying that people are washed up or they're done. Like, it can also be the New York Jets in a terrible situation. It's why, if they do end up getting the number one overall pick and they take Trevor Lawrence, he doesn't force his way out, Sam Darnold will likely go somewhere else and have success, because it's probably just the Jets and the organization,
right,
and
right,
not all on him. I think this is a good situation for the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think that they're an organization that can have too much of a good thing. They obviously have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he is a rookie. Sometimes rookies hit a wall. Sometimes they don't, but why not be prepared for that situation? Le'Veon Bell is a very unique running style that they can work in and be very creative. They don't have to rely just on Clyde Edwards-Helaire now, who has been running great, but
he's not a red zone running back. He's not a big thumping running back in the red zone.
He has 18 carries for 43 yards and zero touchdowns in the red zone this season. Only 17% of his carries have come in the red zone.
Yeah,
he's tied with Jonathan Taylor,
yeah,
and Kareem Hunt for eighth in the NFL in red zone rushing attempts. Derrick Henry leads the league with 30.
Yeah, so in the red zone, the big thick running back scores. Helaire is 20 to 20s. He's great. But they, I think he had 9 carries in goal-to-go situations and minus 1 yard. So, by the way, all the coaches in this league, Sean Payton does this, Belichick does this, Pete Carroll does this, that use multiple backs and don't have a bell cow back. The downside to having Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley, they get hurt and you're trapped.
Right.
So Kansas City is saying, this guy's going to carry 9 times. We don't have a singular bell cow. Belichick's never bought into that. Belichick's never believed you have one back. Sean Payton, Alvin Kamara's good. They've got a second back. So to me, Kansas City's like, this is the good team. By the way, Super Bowl for the Eagles. They had like multiple running backs. You have to have one quarterback. I'd always want 2 to 3 running backs.
And your role changes throughout your career as well. Right. So Le'Veon's role wasn't that in Pittsburgh, but this is not Pittsburgh and it's further in his career. It's a different situation.
Yeah.
So Odell was visibly upset when he was pulled from the Browns blowout loss to the Steelers last week.
Visibly.
Threw his helmet on the ground, was yelling at fans, took off his cleats while he was on the sideline. And he explained why he was so frustrated during the game and with the criticism he received for his outbursts.
I'm pissed. And at this point, I really don't care to keep trying to make myself look like a good guy into the world and all that, because I am who I am. There's people who have plenty of rings and consider the GOAT, and they do things on the sideline, and other people do things on the sideline and they get away with it, and it's classified as passion because they may have something behind their legacy.
I do think Odell gets unfairly criticized, but I think it's because of the expectations that we have of Odell that happens. And so with great talents come great responsibility, and expectations lead to disappointment. So the situation in Cleveland, I don't think ever was a fit for Odell. He's been great about accepting what the situation is in Cleveland. And also, they are an emotional team still.
Yes.
So they're learning to deal with losses. I don't have a problem with Odell being emotional. I don't understand why people ever get upset with emotion on the sidelines. He's not punching someone in the face. He's frustrated, and that is how he expresses his frustration. Some people go and they are isolated by themselves. Some people yell. Some people cry. Like, how you emote in a situation is not the problem. I'm glad he is emoting.
Yeah, I don't think it would be an issue if their quarterback wasn't highly emotional. So I've never had a problem with emotions, but I want my quarterback to be a grown-up. But in Cleveland, you got Baker's wife talking on IG, and you got Baker saying this, and you got Odell saying this. So this is a combustible organization. I always say the hat on backwards thing. Nobody ever wants to acknowledge what I really say is, I don't care if you do it. I don't care if baseball players do it. I don't care if football players do it. I don't want my quarterback at his weekly press conference sponsored by Toyota to have his hat on backwards. It's like, I really don't care how football players act. If they're the quarterback, Jameis, Manziel, Baker, I'm going to chew you up. You know, bad body language, Jay Cutler. Bad body language, Aaron Rodgers. I've never really cared. I tend to think wide receiver is an expressive position.
Right.
So people always get into this. You know, people like Randy Moss has done what he's done in Odell. I think people earn their reputations, good or bad. But I don't really care. I think if the Browns had more stability at owner, GM, quarterback, then this would just be a highly emotional, productive receiver. And I could give you 10 NFL teams that have won Super Bowls with highly emotional wide receivers.
And your leader sets the tone for your organization.
And your receiver's never your leader. Your leader's your quarterback and your GM and your coach.
As it should be.
Right.
But Odell has a right to be upset with the criticism of it because he is not supposed to be that guy. So why are we holding him to the standard of that? Like, that is Baker who should be in that role.
Yes.
So he shouldn't be getting criticized like that. Finally, the Eagles are dealing with a ton of injuries and are 1-4-1 so far this season. Luckily for them, they're in the NFC East, and Carson Wentz is still confident in their chances of winning the division.
We know where the division's at. You know, we know it's wide open still, and we know we didn't start, and we don't have the record that we were hoping for or, you know, counting on. And we know the division is up for grabs for everybody. So we know what's riding on this one, and we're excited for it.
So you were just talking about this. They play 3 divisional games in a row with a bye in between. So they have the Giants tonight, then the Cowboys, then a bye, and then they're at the Giants. Cowboys are atop the NFC East right now at 2-4. Giants 1-5. And Washington is also 1-5. So this game tonight is actually crucial.
Yes. Absolutely.
Crucial for the Eagles. We don't think that the Giants really have a chance to win this division, although they could go on a run and very well win it as well.
They win tonight. They're in a good space.
Right. So the Eagles are favored by 5 tonight against the Giants, according to Fox Bet. Game is at 7:30 Eastern on Fox. DeSean Jackson and Lane Johnson are expected to return tonight. So both teams actually have some players coming back that have been injured the past couple weeks. So it could be a little bit of a different type of game because of that. There are some key players coming back despite all the injuries. But I'm looking forward to this game tonight because it really does have big implications.
Yeah, enjoy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Antonio Cromartie and John Smoltz will be joining us in the last hour. Brett Favre talks, and I totally disagree with what he said. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Weather's unpredictable this point forward. Silicone wiper blades, Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades. Walmart lasts two times longer than other blades. You know, we were saying this, like, I always talk about my Super Bowl bubble. Tomorrow I'll have another Super Bowl bubble. Every week I have a Super Bowl bubble, right? Every couple of weeks. And there's about, I always feel there's about eight teams in the NFL that are capable of winning it. And then I always feel there's about two to three teams that are close. They're not going to win it. There's a hole too big. There are no perfect teams with a salary cap. So that's like 11, 12 teams max that are really going for the Super Bowl. Then there's always like, so let's just write that number down, 12. And then there's always at least 6 to 7 teams that are rebuilding. That's 19. And then there's like 12 teams in the middle that they're not rebuilding, but they're not very good. What's difficult for Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys should be rebuilding. They have a bad offensive, old offensive line. We knew this going in. This is why the CD Lamb pick didn't make sense. There were two good left tackles taken after that. There were two good corners taken after that. They could have traded down if possible, but they didn't need. It wasn't just defensive linemen. This offensive line's been getting old for 2 and 3 years now, and they keep going after Michael Gallup, and they keep going after CD Lamb. The difficult thing for the Cowboys is their owner's their general manager. So he's really consumed with their brand and their facilities. I think the Cowboys are one of the 7 rebuilding bottom teams. Now, we know Jacksonville is. We know Cincinnati's still in a rebuild. We know the Jets are in a rebuild. We know Washington and New York is. So there's 5. Then you start arguing Detroit, to me, feels like they're in a rebuild. There's the 6 teams. I think Dallas is really close to the rebuild. What they've done, though, and Peter Schrager talked about this, Minnesota this morning traded away a good pass rusher because they're kind of acknowledging now, we're not going to win this year. Chicago's better. Green Bay's better. We're going to get some draft picks. Dallas isn't even as talented, in my opinion, as Minnesota. They're not. Minnesota's a better team with a better coach. But Minnesota's acknowledging we're in a rebuild. This looks like Chicago's better than us. Green Bay's way better than us. Let's get some picks. And Baltimore's a good team. They're in the Super Bowl bubble. I think Dallas should make a trade with Michael Gallup. CeeDee Lamb's very good. Amari Cooper's very good. And Cedric Wilson's an excellent 3. You got a great running back. I would trade Michael Gallup and go get picks or go get a really good player. You'll probably get picks because a good team that needs Michael Gallup is not going to give you a good player. Go get picks. But with Dallas, it's tough because they're such a massive brand. And these massive brands have an ability historically to turn it around very quickly. The Lakers are bad, but they attract LeBron, who attracts AD. Yankees are bad in the 70s, 80s, and all of a sudden in 2007, they're okay, and they go buy CeCe Sabathia. They go buy Mark Teixeira. Alabama bought Saban. Ohio State buys Urban Meyer. So these huge brands, they always recover more quickly. They all have dips. Bama's had a dip. Ohio State's had a dip. The Cowboys have had dips. The Yankees, the Lakers just had a dip. They recover quickly. My issue with the Cowboys is they're not going to recover quickly if they keep convincing themselves all these good players are great. And Schrager talked about this earlier today, and I said, do the Cowboys get there in a rebuilding mode? Shouldn't they be moving some pieces and getting some picks? And here was Peter Schrager.
The Cowboys are in first place. Like, it's really weird. Like, they're in first place. They have sole possession of first place in their division. So if there was to be a playoff game, they're still at home on a Saturday night with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth talking about what Zeke Elliott's going to do. Like, that's the difference. I think the Vikings, they look at this and they're realistic and they're saying, all right, we're going to try to win, but I don't know if this is our best step and might as well get a bounty of picks for our guy, Yannick Ngakoue, who we barely know. The Cowboys, the offense hasn't really been the problem, right? Like, Gallup's been good and Cooper's been good and Lamb's been good. What are you getting for Michael Gallup? If it's a draft pick, that doesn't help them right now.
Yeah. So, I don't think right now matters for Dallas. I just don't think they have very many good players. And so my takeaway is Minnesota, who has more good players than Dallas, is able to admit, as not a huge national brand, let's rebuild. Let's get some picks. Dallas doesn't have the coach in Minnesota. They don't have the GM in Minnesota. I don't think they have as many good players as Minnesota. But they feel like in this bad division, we can win it. We're a big brand. We're not giving up. I think that's their weakness, not their strength. I think Dallas has to admit, we just don't have that many good players. I mean, even Amari Cooper is good. There's about 10 guys I like a lot more. I mean, Cleveland's got two receivers that are more dynamic than Amari Cooper. Maybe not as reliable. Well, Jarvis Landry is, but more dynamic. All right, here's another thing. Whenever somebody says, I don't care what anybody says, well, of course they care what people say. Everybody cares. My mom used to always say that. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to be liked. And Baker Mayfield, Browns lost. No big deal. You're 4-2. You have terrific offensive talent. Your schedule now, I looked it up this morning, is the easiest schedule remaining in the NFL. A lot of Bengals, a lot of average teams. Baker Mayfield was asked a question about me yesterday in Cleveland.
Baker, in the past, you have, kind of engaged with, the Colin Cowards of the world and that sort of thing. There's been a lot of heat, national heat on you this week. I'm just wondering what your approach is to that. Are you listening to it? Are you blocking it out? Are you letting it get to you? How are you handling that?
I don't give a damn what they say. It's within this building. We know we can be better. I know I can be better. And that's how it's going to be handled. The outside noise doesn't matter. They get paid to talk. We get paid to do our work. So that's how it's going to be handled.
All right. That's a good answer. Not sure if I buy it, but it's a good answer. Actually, for Cleveland, and I know a lot of you think I don't like Aaron or Baker Mayfield, this is really a fascinating time for the Cleveland Browns. They are 4-2. It should not feel like they're 0-6. They're 4-2. They're not going to face another defense that resembles the Steelers until December 14th on Monday Night Football at home against Baltimore. Folks, that's like 2 months away. They've got like 7-8 weeks of cupcakes, teams that aren't as talented. And this is what I worry about. Odell Beckham's all worked up, and Baker Mayfield's all worked up, and Baker's wife is defending him on Instagram. This is, you're in the driver's seat. Cleveland. You're in the driver's seat. You face the Bengals, the Raiders, the Texans, the depleted Eagles, the Jaguars. You get 5 weeks. You should be 9-2. And if you are, you also get the Jets and the Giants later. You have a chance to be an 11-win football team. This should not feel like you're 0-6. Just think about this. What was in Cleveland before the Steeler game, 1 minute before the Steeler game, what were we saying about Cleveland? This is their best record since Bill Belichick in 1994. I haven't checked on this morning. I bet you 4-2 is one of their best records since Bill Belichick in 1994. Take the tape, throw it away. You're not going to see another defense like this the rest of the year. There are no more Steelers. Tennessee may be close. They don't have the pass rush. This is don't get emotional. OBJ, Baker, everybody. There's no, I don't care what anybody says. They all care if they say they don't care. They all care if they say they don't care. Seeing the check engine light come on should not freak you out. Go to carshield.com. It is a warranty when yours runs out. By the way, Brett Favre has a weekly press conference or a weekly radio show. And, he talks and says a bunch of stuff. He was talking about that Le'Veon Bell acquisition by the Kansas City Chiefs, which I actually think is really good. And here's Brett Favre on a Sirius XM radio show.
Well, they don't need him. I don't know Le'Veon personally. I don't know what kind of guy he is. I do know what kind of player he has been, an incredible player. But they don't need him. And I love Andy Reid. I think the world of Patrick Mahomes. I think their football team is not, I mean, they are beatable, obviously, but they're pretty doggone good right now, and they got a good thing going. And sometimes, adding a player of Le'Veon's caliber can do more harm than good. I'm not saying it will, but, think about it this way. What can they do with Le'Veon that they're not doing already, other than feeling the need to give him the ball to please him, which is really all that you're putting him in for?
Totally disagree. but I think it's because Brett doesn't have the data in front of him that we do. Interesting stat here. The Chiefs have had 9 goal-to-go carries from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Minus 1 yards, no touchdowns. They need Le'Veon Bell. This is actually a need for the Chiefs, a big, veteran, bruising red zone running back. I got the data. Brett probably doesn't. This is actually a huge need for them. You're not going to win the AFC with field goals. Hour 3 next.